Good morning, family.
Good morning.
I bring greetings from your family in Fredericksburg, Texas, just down the road. You know, not everybody goes to Fredericksburg to play. Some people actually go to find Jesus. And I cannot wait to tell you some of the stories of what God has done through Oak Hills Church, Fredericksburg. But before I get to that, and we are going to dive into that, I want you to know something. First of all, today is not about having a report. We're not here to just report numbers or report stats or anything like that. We're here because God has a word on our heart for you today. And God wants to blow the dust and the debris off of the God dreams that he has given you that at one time kept you awake at night but has diminished because life happens. So I'm going to ask you to lean in and say, Lord, what is your one word for me that could change my life or change my trajectory forever? So I want to invite you to do that with me. My name is Jimmy Pruitt. I am the lead minister there at Oak Hills Fredericksburg, which is about to become, in just a few weeks, mind blown, right? A few weeks, we will become Bridge Church Fredericksburg, and we could not be more excited about what God is up to. I'll tell you a little bit of that story in just a moment, but I got to introduce my family to you. On the left there, that's my son, Chris. Chris is a senior pastor of City Life Church in Houston, Texas. If you're familiar with Houston and Pearland, that area, and he's been doing that for 9 years, and this is how awesome it is when your son outgrows you and you start calling him for advice. That's where it's at. Chris, what are you doing? Especially as we launch this new church, we're having to go and just really build from the ground up. And we're like, well, how do you do this? How do you do that? And it's been delightful to walk with him now as a mentor of such. So it's been amazing to watch them grow. Next to him is my daughter, Alicia. She lives in Nashville, Tennessee, which we brought her to Nashville when we moved there from Texas a number of years ago. And then when we came back, she stayed because she's like, I'm not leaving Nashville. I love this place. So she's doing well there, and she's produced a whole lot of grandkids for us. I'm just saying, and we're thankful for that. And then the middle child there, the youngest, she's not the middle child, but she's in the middle, is our daughter, Rachel Faith. We adopted Rachel Faith from birth. And when we thought we had an empty nest, we started over with a newborn. So we've gone two rounds, folks. We have earned an empty nest. You know what I'm saying? But as you know, they never really leave, and so we have a boomerang child. She left for a year, went to London, studied abroad for a year at Howard Payne University, and then she decided to come back home. We're like, yay. All right, come on. So now she's going to go to UTSA and finish out, and so we really are glad to have Faith back. She's amazing. She takes care of the dog, so it's a great help. And then next to her is the love of my life and the light of my life. My wife, Annette, my way better half, as I call her, and she's right here with us. Wave, Annette, to say hi. Y'all wave. Bless her. Bless her for being here. She's putting up with me for 4 services, so I don't know what she's going to want out of this, but it's going to be big, right, baby? So we're talking about the harvest vision. Let me say something about the harvest vision. To me, it's not just a harvest vision dream. It is a harvest vision mandate. And let me tell you what a mandate isn't. It's not two guys going to see Hobbs and Shaw at the movie theater, okay? That's a different kind of mandate. What it is, it's a command, it's an order, and some of you are just now getting that. This is not the early service. Come on, you should be awake by now. 3 espressos, you're ready to go. It is a command to us. Back 2 years ago, I got a phone call from Max. And he said, hey, do you want to do lunch at Maggiano's? I'm like, Maggiano's? Yes, I've been. So we drove and we met. And Steve Green joined us for a short time of that. And we just began to talk. And Max rolled out a dream. At that moment, it was a dream. And he said, I think the Lord's saying something about us launching our campuses so that in their context, they can begin to realize their capacity. And I said, when do we start, Coach? And that was 2 years ago, and here we are now within weeks of actually doing that. There's been a whole lot of work that has gone into that, and it has been a learning curve, as Travis said. So right now, as it stands, 2 of our campuses, Oak Hills Church, Oak Hills Fredericksburg, and Journey Fellowship, will at the same time on September 1st officially become standalone, independent, autonomous churches, yet still family. Why? Because we're better together. Amen? So we'll always be family, which means when you show up, you're still going to go, oh, wait, this still has Oak Hills DNA in it. Absolutely. It always will. So come see us in Fredericksburg. So as we get started, I want to share a couple of things with you. First of all, We're going to be talking about this harvest vision, but you got to understand a little bit of a backdrop. 10 years ago, there was a group of people that had been members here at Oak Hills, long-term members, but they had moved to Fredericksburg, but they were making the drive because they're family. And so they finally, after a while, began to say, why couldn't we have an Oak Hills church expression in Fredericksburg, in the Texas Hill Country? And the answer was back then, well, we never really planned to do anything outside of the 1604 loop, so that's really not an option. But you know, that was the group that affectionately became known as the group that wouldn't go away. And if you knew who was in that group, you'd know what I'm saying. And that DNA strand, that determination, that intensity, that tenacity actually became a part of the very fabric of who Oak Hills Fredericksburg has become. It's a part of our identity. And so the little church that could has become the local congregation that did, and Bridge Church Fellowship will be birthed in 2 weeks. And I want to say from my heart to you, we've been here 3.5 years, and we have loved being family, and we're going to continue to be family. But I have to say thank you. Many of you don't know all the dynamics and details, but it's because we do this together on an ongoing basis, seeking the Lord for His wisdom, His strategy, His presence. And what that has done, it has produced the opportunity for us to do this. And now you're going to see campuses that now become local churches that can minister in their given context and begin to reach their communities with the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you for being family. So the Harvest Vision, just so you know, if you're free on this Sunday, 25th of August, Max will be with us in both services there in Fredericksburg, and that will be our celebration launch service. And we believe and have been talking about it and feel this is of the Holy Spirit, that there's going to be a defined shift that happens as a result of us taking this step where God will grant grace where grace is needed. Do you believe that with me? So come on over and see us. So let's talk a little bit about this. We cannot talk about the Harvest Vision without talking about the gospel. And don't just assume you know exactly what it is. Most people use that word. We throw it around. We call it Christianese, right? That's our own little vocabulary. The world hears us say gospel and they go, that's a choir, right? You know, they just don't know what we're talking about. But for us, the gospel is this. Couple of things. First of all, it's good news. It's not bad news. It's not so-so news. It's not okay news. It's good news. And I happen to say this because I can get away with butchering the English language because I'm from West Texas. It's gooder than good. I'm just saying. It's the goodest news ever, right? Not all of you can get away with that. Steve Green can as well. The Apostle Paul tells us, listen to this, the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians 1:27, we just completed a whole study through the book of Colossians called Identified, talking about our identity in Jesus Christ and how critical that is to know who and whose you are. And in that, we discovered some things in the book of Colossians, and one is this hidden treasure, this hidden jewel. Listen to this, Colossians 1:27, the mystery that has been hidden and is now being revealed. That gets my attention because I watch the ID channel all the time. And I love a good mystery that gets solved. And listen to this. Here's the mystery. Christ in you and through you, because the little present participle there, in, means not only in, it means through, the hope of glory. Did you know that Jesus did not come just to take up residence in you? He came upon you so that you could touch the world. He wants to come in you and live His life through you. Now listen to this. God gave us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us for us. But He places the Holy Spirit upon you for the world. And the call and the mandate on our life and a part of the Harvest Vision is to go, therefore, and make disciples. Listen to this. This is a definition of a gospel by Dr. Rice Brooks, who I used to work with in Nashville. He says this, the gospel is the good news. There's that word again, that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, He rose from the dead, proving He is the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins to anyone who repents and believes in Him. Could we get an amen for the gospel? Yes, it's a game changer. We cannot talk about the harvest vision without that. But here's the thing. As we step out into and on mission with God, we call this putting the go back in the gospel. As we put the go back into the gospel and we step out, it's almost like walking the plank on a ship and wondering if there's going to be something when you step off the plank. And let me tell you what's so amazing is that God meets us at our point of faith and belief as we are going out on mission for Him. And Matthew chapter 28, listen to this. It's been known as the Great Commission. We call it the Apostolic Mandate. Alan Hirsch, great thinker in our time, says this, that the word apostle literally means sent one. Paul was the apostle Paul. That doesn't mean he's the overseer or bishop Paul. He's the sent one Paul. He's the missionary Paul. He lived a life on mission. So to be apostolic doesn't mean you're ruling over a bunch of churches. It's been misdefined as that. It actually means you're on the go. You are putting the go back in the gospel. Paul, 4 or 5 missionary journeys, depending on who you read, who through his time in Ephesus reached all of Asia with the gospel. The good news, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That same Paul, the apostle, says this. He says, you are to go. Listen to this. Matthew 28. Here it is. Then Jesus came to them. Now this is Jesus speaking and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you ever wonder what the therefore is there for? That's an important thing here. Do I split hairs with the scripture? You bet I do. I think the language is important. Listen, here it is. He says, all authority has been given to me, therefore go. Now he's conferring authority upon every one of us. Look what he says. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is the apostolic missional mandate. Here's the thing. If you break down the original language of this, it doesn't just say, go therefore and make disciples. It literally says, as you are going, disciple the nations. Let me say it again because it puts a little shift. It puts the emphasis on the right syllable. You know what I'm saying? Listen to this again. As you are going, that means in your day, where you live, where you work, and where you play, as you're going throughout the normal rhythm of your day, we are to disciple the nations, starting right here. Starting right in front of us. That's what it literally means. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which is kind of one of the foundational scriptures for the harvest vision mandate, is this, but you will receive power. Someone say power out loud. Power. You know what that word is? It's the word dunamis in the Greek, and it literally means this. We transliterate as dynamite. In other words, it's literally a powerful force, but if you do some study on that and exegete it well, you'll find it is also literally the power for working miracles. So let me put it this way. Did you know that you as a follower of Jesus are packing heat? Speaking of packing heat, there was a lady in my church. Sometimes things happen in a church and you go, only in Fredericksburg would this happen. Lady, after a worship service, our worship center's jammed. We're having a great time. And I see literally an 87-year-old precious saint pull a gun out of her purse and is showing it around. I'm thinking, I'm in an alternate reality right now because there's a lady with a gun and she's talking to somebody. And I have to walk over to her. I said, ma'am, would you mind putting your piece away? Before one of our guys body slams you, you know, it's like, please put that away now. Only in Fredericksburg. She was literally packing heat, but listen, you're packing dynamite. You know what I said a minute ago? God gives the Holy Spirit to dwell in you, for you, but oh, He puts the Holy Spirit upon you for the rest of the world, starting right where you live, right where you work, right where you play. Listen to this, but you will receive power, dynamite, power for working miracles when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and look what He says, this is the result. You, by the way, the result isn't that we have this wild, crazy worship service and it just gets all crazy and there's body carnage everywhere. What it literally means is this, is that you are now empowered to do exactly the mission He's called us to, which is for us, the harvest mandate. And here it is. You will be my witnesses. What does a witness do? Do they go out and preach? No, they actually answer the questions that are being asked, which means and precipitates that we should live a life that is so compelling that people are asking questions. There should be something about your life that is outstanding. that is different and that compels people to ask, then what do? We answer the questions. Listen to this. And here's where it's supposed to happen. It's easy to get lost in his story and in the area of geography. In Jerusalem, I go, oh, that's way over there. Actually, that's where you live. And in all Judea, that's the broader area. And then listen to this, in Samaria. You know what Samaria was for them? That was the hood. Samaria is the other side of the track. Samaria is where those Gentiles live, the ones you don't go around. And Jesus is calling them against everything in their Jewish being and saying, you're going to go to the people you are repulsed by, and you're going to take the gospel, and you are going to go empowered, and you are going to be my witnesses in Samaria. What was he telling? You're about to put the go in the gospel, and you're going to go out and to the ends of the earth. So as you go, you'll receive power, and as the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be witnesses of the good news. I have to tell you a story about Austin and Kate McIntosh. They've been on staff with us for 3.5 years as our student minister in Fredericksburg. And Austin and I got together about a year ago, and I said, Austin, I believe you are out of your lane. Have you ever been a follower of Jesus and knew you weren't in the right place at the right time? You were on the bus, but you're in the wrong seat. Just something wasn't working. And I said, you are a missionary. He was raised half of his life in Scotland, and his name's McIntosh, hello. And so he cuts and bleeds missions. And I said, you're supposed to be on the mission field. And he said, you're right. My heart bleeds for across the pond for Europe. And I said, we need to pray about that. So I was number one reference on his resume. And so I started getting calls from other pastors looking at him for being a youth pastor somewhere else. I'm like, this doesn't feel good. This doesn't feel right. It's a lateral move for him. And then he came to me one day and he said, hey, there's a church in Lisburn, Northern Ireland, just outside of Belfast. We all know Belfast because of the IRA. Remember Irish Republican Army, all the stuff that went on back in the day? I mean, that's some scary places. But there's a church there that's making a difference, and they need a youth pastor. And here's the catch. They can't pay me. I said, now this sounds more like a God idea. So he had his wife and 3 children. So that's a big family, right? So we said, let's begin to lean into this and let's get you trained on how to raise support. He said, I'm going to raise all my support and we're going to go, and our plans to go in August. And you talk about a tall order, because we were getting up to 6 months here. So he began the fundraising, and at first it was slow go, and then we were moving him out and bringing somebody else in, and it was just one of those very scary times. And in the middle of this, while he's starting to get a little traction on raising his funds to go to Ireland, here's what happens. His wife comes back from the doctor, and they sit down with me, and we're like, I'm thinking bad diagnosis. Oh no. She's pregnant with triplets. Yeah, that was exactly my reaction. Out loud. I was like, did I just say that out loud? I mean, literally, I was an audible gasp. So you can imagine what they're thinking, right? What would you be thinking? Would you be willing to put the go in gospel? What did God say? So I called him out. In love, this is what you do as a pastor and a father. You say, did God call you to go to Lisburn? Yes. Did God know you were going to get pregnant with triplets? And they weren't trying, by the way. So the odds just went astronomical there. That's another conversation, right? I said, did God know? He said, yes. I said, do you think God's changed his mind because of the circumstances? He goes, no. So their family just doubled. And we just went to work. And God showed up in 2.5 months. They've raised their entire support, and they are fully funded and leaving tomorrow for Lisburn, Northern Ireland. Give God some glory. Amen. That's a God thing, and that's a God story. Listen to this. Isaiah 30:21, again, talking about motion. As you go, you'll receive direction. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, by the way, if you're hearing a word behind you, you're moving. And you'll hear a word behind you saying this, this is the way, walk in it, whether you turn to the right hand or whether you turn to the left. The Holy Spirit will guide you as you go. Here's another one, Psalm 37:23, and I love this in the NLT, New Living Translation. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in the details of their lives. I've heard this cliche, and you have too, that the devil delights in the details, or he's in the details. I disagree with that. I'm not going to give the enemy that much credit, are you? God delights in the details of your life. That literally, he takes pleasure in the details. If he's put a dream inside of you, do you think that he is able and willing to help you realize that dream if it's a God dream? Everybody here, there has been something that God's put in your heart at some point or another, something that kept you up at night, something that got your adrenaline going, something that you would wake up at 3:11, or I may be the only one who does this, consistently thinking about this. It was a God dream. It was a God dream. But here's what happens. Life happens. Refrigerators break. Transmissions fail. Kids spin out. College shows up. They come back. It could be anything for you that made the situation and the circumstances not so favorable. But did God change his mind, or did the circumstances just present differently? I'm going to, in love, speak the truth to you. That God dream that he gave you, he has not forgotten. That thing he put in your heart, that thing that he planted in you, is of him, and he has not forgotten. And it may have grown a little foggy for you. It may be diminished a little bit for you. It may be a little fuzzy. Maybe you don't get adrenaline because so much has happened since then. You feel like that could never happen. That is just the kind of challenge God needs. And all he's asking of you is to be willing and to be available. Brian and Leslie Haley. Leslie was our Bible Land director when I got there 3.5 years ago. We moved from Nashville. I was working for Dave Ramsey. We moved back to Texas from Nashville, back to the homeland. And here we are back on the scene 3.5 years ago, 2 weeks into my tenure at Oak Hills Fredericksburg. My children's ministry director, our Bible lander, comes to me and says, "We feel like God's calling us to leave." I'm like, "No, that can't happen. Isn't that against the rules somewhere? You don't leave the moment. I haven't even had time to offend you yet. You can't just quit." And she said, "We feel called to the mission field. We feel called to go to Mexico, to Torreon, Mexico." And I was like, that sounds noble, but don't leave. I just got here. I really felt like there was something we could mine out of Leslie to see some greatness there. Because she was from Mexico originally, but not her husband. And I challenged them hard, because as sometimes pastors, we get to ask the hard questions sometimes. And I said, I'm not convinced that you are supposed to go. I said, "Would you take 1 week and go pray, and then come back and you tell me what God tells you?" They came back a week later ready to chew the end off of a crowbar. They had prayed, and God had defined and refined their call. He had dug it in deep. They lost sleep over it. Yes, that was my fault. Sorry. I brought disruption into their life because they needed to know that what they were going to step into was not going to be easy. And so I asked the hard questions. They went down there, and you think, man, this is going to be amazing. This is going to be glorious. They went down there, and the first year was a colossal failure. They went into debt. Not good for a guy who works for Dave Ramsey. I don't like that. So I'm like, you got to come back. We'll hire you back. Come back home. We would have taken her back in a second. And they said, "No, we feel like we're supposed to be here." And so every time we would talk on the phone or they would come visit, I would challenge them again. "Are you sure you're supposed to be there? Are you sure you're supposed to be there?" Let me tell you, that can do two things. Because here's the deal. If I can talk you out of your dream, if I can talk you out of your vision, it wasn't a God vision. If it was from God, I can't talk you out of it. And that's why I stayed hard on him. And let me tell you something. That thing has turned in 3.5 years. He's now preaching he's a white boy preaching in a Spanish church, bringing the Spirit of God. She meets with mothers and teaches life skills every week, every day of the week. And they are ministering life and bringing hope to Torreon, Mexico. We now have ministry station in Lisburn, Northern Ireland, now in Torreon, Mexico. Our footprint is getting larger and larger. Why? Because people are daring to put the go back into the gospel. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Did you know that this God idea was not a good idea of yours? It's a God idea. It's a God dream. He chose you. You didn't choose it. Then he says this, fruit that will last, fruit that will remain. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. John 15, another familiar verse. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do something. Hello, somebody check me up. My church gets sassy with me. I'm just saying, they're getting really smart right now. They're talking back a lot. Listen to this, I gotta tell you about somebody. Miss Charlene. When I met Charlene, she was 86 years young. And I walked to her, first time, my first Sunday in Fredericksburg, and she walks up to me, bent over with osteoporosis, and she walks up to me and she says, Pastor Jimmy. And she talks with a big twang, bigger than mine, and she shakes her bony finger in my face. She said, I'm going home to see Papa soon. I was like, wow, that's the first time somebody announced their death to me. I'm like, what? She literally had one foot in the grave. And the Holy Spirit did something. He spoke something real quick to me, a little word of knowledge. I just said, what? I grabbed her arm. I said, can I see your arm for a minute? I just met the lady. Can I see your arm? She hands me her arm. I check her pulse, and I'm doing this, and she's like, she's a little, you know, befuddled. I said, you have a pulse. She goes, yeah. I said, where there's a pulse, there's a promise. And where there's still a pulse, there's a purpose. And I looked her in the eye, and in love, I said, God's not done with you yet, Miss Charlene. 86 years of age. Something happened. Her trajectory changed. She suddenly quit thinking about going to Beulah Land, crossing over the Jordan, and, you know, playing a harp in the sky for the rest of her life. She actually began to buckle in, started coming to every Bible study, started leading a group. 86 years of age, started leading a group. 87, 88, 88. We just celebrated her 90th birthday 2 weeks ago. Let me tell you what Miss Charlene's doing now. That lady is on fire for Jesus. You talking about the harvest vision mandate alive in her? So here's what she did. She kept saying, Pastor Jimmy, God's not done with me. I said, no, he's not, ma'am. What are you going to do about it? Get to go in gospel. She goes out and she finds a nursing home in town. And it's one of those that can't afford anything. It's very low income. And so she goes, great need. And she goes to the leadership there and says, could we do a nursing home ministry? And they're like, well, no one's really asked to do that. Nobody ever comes to ours. She started a year ago a nursing home ministry. 90% of the people she now ministers to and takes preachers to and takes singers to and throws parties for, 90% of them are younger than her. Miss Charlene knows what it means to put the go in gospel, and she's decided it's not quite time to go see Papa. You know what my thought is? I get emotional thinking about it. If a 90-year-old lady can go out there every week, she's lost the use of one arm. She was in a wreck this week because she shouldn't be driving anyway. But I'm not going to tell her not to. Trust me, she'll mama me in a second. She's a church mama. But if a 90-year-old woman has the courage to go out and minister, what is her excuse? What are we doing? If she's willing to go put the go in gospel when she had one foot in the grave not long ago, and she's got a hold of Jesus, what are we doing? What is it that God has put in your heart that you've sat on? And you didn't do it maliciously. You didn't do it on purpose. You just thought the circumstances were going to be great. But you know what I've learned about God dreams and God ideas? It's like having your first kid. When it's the right time, we will have a child. How'd that work out for you? It's the same thing. If you wait till everything's right, you will take the God dream, and not only that, the harvest that was connected to it, the impact that was connected to it, you will take it to the grave. And the world will miss what you would have brought and what God would have brought through you to us. We need you. We need you full on. We need you for you to put the go in the gospel so that we can all partake of the gift that you are. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit. And Father, I just sense in my heart you're stirring something in people. You're bringing divine disruption into our lives in this very moment. I pray for anyone who's here who right now, by the wind of your spirit, you're blowing the dust, the dirt, and the debris off of that dream that's been set aside. Rekindle, reignite. Lord, if you have to, wake us up in the middle of the night. Whatever you need to do, Father, we want to make ourselves available to you. And stop asking how it's going to happen and just start saying, wow. Stop asking how. Start saying, wow. Wow. Wow, God. I pray for my family here, my spiritual family, Oak Hills Church. God, may God's dreams begin to come alive again. I trust that it is, and I thank you in advance. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen and amen.
Got someone else up here you might recognize. Annette, if you would like to come up too. I've asked Max to join us, your way better half. Come on up here. Now you can see why we are so excited and so thrilled about what God has done in and through Jimmy and Annette and the leadership there at Fredericksburg and what he is going to continue to do. So, Max, can you believe? I mean, it hasn't been that long ago we were dreaming about this. And to see what God has done, but then to also see what God has done in and through the two of you. I mean, this has really been amazing. Here's what we want to do right now. Jimmy has blessed us today. Now we want to bless him and we want to bless the church and the leadership at Fredericksburg, soon to become the Bridge Church. Building bridges, building bridges. So if you would, extend a hand, please, and we are going to give a blessing. Father, we are so amazed at your power. We're so amazed that you would place your power in us. We're so amazed at what you can do, Father, more than we could ask or imagine. And so, Father, we just ask for a blessing right now upon Jimmy and Annette. We thank you for the strength and the power and the persistence, the perseverance, the character, the hope that you have placed in them, that you continue to place in them. Father, would you continue to give them strength, continue to provide them your power. Father, we ask that you would surround them with all the support and the leadership that they need, that they would be able to be surrounded by wisdom as they go forward to find those places. Father, we pray for the church and for the community at Fredericksburg. Father, the people who are, they're hurting, They are searching for answers. They don't even know where to look right now, Father. They're doubting. But you have placed this church within that community for your purpose and for your will. So here's what we're asking you, just to increase capacity. To increase capacity to give, increase capacity to reach in all the places where they live and where they work and where they play. Father, that you would continue just to bring people to them as they go to the people. Father, we thank you so much for all that you are doing and for all that you are going to do. All for your name, all for your glory. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. And all those who agreed said, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Travis. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man. I'd love to. Thank you. Thank you.